The artists come up always with different ideas, and they challenge our engineers that are always keen to improve our technology and to come up with creative solutions.
Hello, print friends, and welcome. This is a bilingual podcast, so if you subscribe to us, you'll be getting episodes in English with me, as well as in Spanish, with Ronaldo Gil Zambrano. Together, we talk to people around the globe about their practice and passions in the field of print media and multiples. Hello, print friend is brought to you by Speedball Art Products. And in 1915, Ross F. George published the first edition of the Speedball textbook, which quickly became a superlative resource for artists and letterers of all skill levels. This is a great inspiration for the gig poster gang or for people who want to develop their own letter forms for screen and relief printed work. In celebration of the 105th anniversary of this book's debut, the 25th edition of the Speedball textbook has a convenient lay-flat construction and 120 pages of examples, contributors' works, and innovative technical insight that is sure to inspire and appeal to scribes and enthusiasts across the spectrum of skill and experience. There's a link in the show notes. This episode is also brought to you by Legion Paper. Legion Paper is a fine art paper company that represents the best papers in the world. They either stock it, source it, or make it. With brands like Stonehenge, Somerset, Coventry, Reeds, Arches, and more, Legion is the best paper resource for every artist and printmaker's needs. Learn more about the variety of papers that Legion stocks at www.legionpaper.com. My guests this week are John and Diana from Litto Editions. Litto Editions is based in Bregenz, Austria, and they use a new print technology to create prints with extreme precision and relief effects. In this episode, we talk about the new technology, how it came to be used in a collaborative printmaking process, and how the contemporary artists they work with are embracing this new technology. Hi, John. Hi, Diana. How's it going?
Hello. How are you?
Hello, Miranda.
Hello, and thank you both for joining me. I am really excited to talk to you all. I am somebody who has a background in very traditional print and printmaking, but I work in my grown-up full-time job in a place that really focuses on that intersection of print technology and printmaking and fine arts. And so I think this is going to be a really interesting conversation. And I'm really excited to share what you're doing with everyone. So before we get in, I would love it if you both answered the three questions that have become the iconic questions that I ask my guests for them to introduce themselves, which is who you are, where you are, what you do.
So I am John. I am one of the co-founder and CEO of Litto Editions and Litto Masters. I am in London, and we are an Austrian company, and I am French. I grew up in Paris, but now I live between where Litto his activities.
Wonderful. And Diana?
So I'm Dutch, but I'm born and raised in France, and I live in Brussels, but I do commute a lot and come to Litto in Paris and also in Bregenz, where you have the Litto Technology Lab.
Wonderful. And what's your title at Litto? What do you do?
Head of contemporary art. I definitely do the collaborations with the artist, and I do the intermediate with the Litto Technology Lab and the artists.
Wonderful. So before we get into Litto as it is now, I would love for you both maybe to take us back a little bit and talk about life before Litto. And maybe we'll start with you again, John. So you're widely known for your support of and your interest in Chinese art. And so I'm wondering, was that sort of your first entrance into the art world, or did it come before that?
Exactly. So I have a big interest into Chinese contemporary art as a collector and dealer. I started more than 10 years ago. So I am in this market for a while now. And I am specialized in the third artist generation, meaning it's artists who all grew up without Chairman Mao as a leader. and don't have any political mm-hmm. message to talk about. So all this generation is and becoming global and is mainly abstract. So this is my background in art as a collector. And as you said, it was my first steps into the art world.
Where did your interest start in contemporary Chinese art?
Very easy to understand. When you are born and you grew up in Europe and you would like, in a 30 years of career, to have an impact in the art market, you cannot do it from Europe, because with the American market, for example, all the best American artists and artworks are sold by American dealers and galleries to American collectors. So in Europe, we only have the second choice. The biggest shows and exhibition always happen in the US and not in Europe, at least for contemporary artists. So having said this, I started to look on the other side of the planet and what's happening in China and Asia. And it was at that time and still an emerging country. And you could catch very interesting artworks from artists from the same generation as the American market and build a collection and work with them. So this is why. It's just coming from Europe in terms of time and effort. And it's also a very exciting market.
And so, Diana, what about you? You've got a long background in curation, is that correct?
Yes, actually, I'm coming from a family that's involved in the art for multiple generations. I studied art at the Sorbonne, and I did the curating program at the Apple in Amsterdam. And I've been working in curating and acquisition for collections in the Middle East. I also advised the Ministry of Culture of Abu Dhabi and worked a lot with artists to commission artists to create artworks for collections. And parallelly, I developed with an art dealer the pioneering platform that was selling limited editions online. So I have now, let's say, more or less 15 years of experience in the print market. This is a little bit how I came also to Lito, because it was, of course, a very interesting new technology. And it was also, I was sure that it would interest a lot of contemporary artists.
So we are very lucky to have Diana on board, because Diana have a clear understanding of the market of this last 15 years, today and next, and have also very great skills to work with the artist and lead the Lito Lab.
So I'd love to hear a little bit about how Lito came to be in the world. Did you have the idea and then find the technology? Did the technology inspire the idea? How did it come to be in the world?
So if we step back, the art market is one of the latest markets who has not been disrupted by technology. So around this call, we are all from the same generation and we live and with and through technologies. And so I was wondering why. And I was just monitoring any art and tech initiative in the art market to see what was working, what was not working, and why. And at some point, I found that museums were using a small atelier facsimile 3D print technology to create artworks. It was used by Le Louvre, Le Vatican, British Museum. And I said that it could be great. I had the understanding and the vision that by taking this technology and be able to invest in it and to create a stable process and be able to scale what we're doing, we could offer a great services to the artists, the art world, and the museums. So this is how the idea came up. It's as you and Miranda, you are a specialist in the print field, but if we exclude the digital print, there were no evolution for the last maybe century about like printmaking techniques, like relevant for Andy Warhol used and make very popular the lithography silk screen techniques. But it existed a long time before. So today, it's the question about what we can offer to artists to create new work and a new technique where the artist can be very excited to work on a new creative process and collaborate with us.
Can you tell us a bit about what that new creative process is and what the new technology is?
So it's a process of different steps, but it's mainly in three steps. The first one is about scanning an artwork, or scanning part of an artwork that will create an artist. You know, it can be only like a small part, and we can, like, after data process it, change the color, change the textures, change the brush stroke, change everything, and after to print it. So it's a process that we trademark and patent, named Little Eye Rendering. So if you want, Miranda, it's to offer Photoshop to an artist. He can do whatever he would like with Photoshop. And after, we are the only one who knows to print the Photoshop file. So this is really what we're doing today.
Yeah. And in terms of the final product, what qualities does it have that is different from print technologies that came before?
So the main difference is we are able to create, to recreate the brush stroke, the texture, the relief, and the different layers of varnish of an artwork. So we just take the prints, which was until today flat and in 2D, to a new dimensionality. So it's 3D. It feels like a painting when mm-hmm. you touch it and when you see it. Diana, maybe you want to...
Yes, actually, it's a multiple, but you have the physicality and the emotion of an original artwork, be it acrylic or gouache or oil paint or even a different other texture. We can recreate the real physicality, texture, relief, as John said, every kind of little detail into the limited edition, the print. And this is absolutely new. And I think it's extraordinary for the artist, but also for the art lover, to be able to have something, the physicality and the first intention of the artist.
Mm.
But and to live with it.
What's make also Lito unique, it's, so as you understand, Miranda, we are printmaker with a unique innovation and also publisher. And as a printmaker, we don't manage our factory like a usual printmaking studio for artists today. And this project was only possible because of the obsession of the art expertise from Diana, from me, from other people we work with, and also the Austrian technician, because my main co-founder is Austrian, and their engineers who own patents with like one of the top four biggest tech companies in the world. And those people have know the art world and the art market, but they have a strong and deep knowledge about how to run a factory, work on process, et cetera, et cetera. If you read the Elon Musk book now, Elon Musk say that to innovate a product is one thing, but the most important thing is to innovate of how you build the product. And this is exactly what we're doing at Lito. We innovate a lot about the printmaking process itself, the factory. We are fully integrated, meaning that more than 90% of our product is made in our factory, meaning the framing, the printing, the packaging. We also have a backplate, et cetera, et cetera, which is also totally new because we have a full control of, we have a total control of our cost. So we are able also to sell to the market our prints for the same price than a lithograph or than a 2D print.
I'm really curious about the actual collaboration process with the artist. So walk me through that. So you identify an artist that you want to work with. What happens next and how have they been responding to the technology?
Well, for example, I would like to explain to you a little bit like how it worked, for example, with Peter Halley. I really wanted to work with this fabulous artist. And we actually recreated a facsimile of an original artwork of dating from 2013. And we sent it to him at his studio in New York. He received it and he was absolutely shocked on the technology, on how it could be. He was shocked, but at the same time mesmerized. It was a jump in the future for him. This is exactly what he said. And although he didn't want to make reproduction of mm-hmm. his works, he definitely want to work with us and to take advantage of this technology and to use this technology and integrate it into his concept. Artistic concept. So that's how he came with the idea of cloning. And so he used Lito's technology to clone one part of his signature texture, which is the Rolatex, and we reproduced it 9 times exactly in the same direction. He's a very picky artist. He's mm-hmm. very scrupulous and minute. And yeah, so we brought it, it opens up his creative process. It's a new tool for them. And this is the interesting part also, because the artists come up always with different ideas and they challenge our engineers that are always keen to improve our technology and to come up with creative solutions all the time. So it's a very stimulating atmosphere always, this coming back and forth with the artist and the Litho Technology Lab. For example, with the Austrian artist Erwin Wurm, when we came first to his studio in Vienna, we came up with a painting that we had commissioned specifically for the creation of a limited edition with Litho. And so he painted his flat sculpture series, one of his flat sculpture series. We scanned it, data processed it, and printed it on canvas. We stretched it exactly like his original work. And then we came to his studio and he was sure, but absolutely sure, that the print, the Litho print, was his original painting. He was sure, but actually it was the opposite. So he was also absolutely surprised. And he said, well, this is just amazing. And definitely he was triggered and wanted to continue working with us.
Yeah. And so could we talk maybe a bit about the actual process itself? I know you said it's patented, it's proprietary, so there's certain things, of course, we can't talk about, but a lot of the listeners to the podcast, they're really familiar with print and printmaking, and they do have that technical mind as well. So as much as you can, what can you tell us about the actual process? So how does it get from the artist's vision and their original idea to this work that's indistinguishable from that original idea?
So there is a lot to do with the data process and the softwares. And for example, for Douglas Gordon, who work a lot with wax, we had to code a new software to then direct and manage the machine who will print it. So I would like to say that each new artist, it's a new project, and it's likely an adaptation of our software. And sometime we will collect the relief of an artwork and the color on the other side, and after match it on our software to data process it. Or sometimes we will do both at once, or sometimes they just no artwork and we have to do everything from scratch and we will just work with 3D until the artist will be happy. So this is how it works. For example, for Douglas Gordon, if you know his work, we have the chance to have free Marilyn from Douglas Gordon. He did not create a new Marilyn since his last show at Gagosian New York in 2008. So he gave us the Marilyn image on one side, and on the other side, he gave us some wax texture and some burnware to apply in the artwork. So every project is different. But what I guess your audience would like to know is that when we work with an artist and the artist engage with us, we are able to send samples or prototype after just a few weeks of works. For example, Peter Alley was one of our longest prototyping and work, and it took 6 to 8 months, which was very long for us because usually we know how to launch a production and a prototype in just like few weeks or few months. Diana, what do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It all depends also on the artist. Some artists are very minute and scrupulous and catching every detail. And some are more rock and roll, like Douglas Gordon. And it really all depends, but they always we're always doing our best to fulfill absolutely the requests of the artists. And yeah, it's the result is always there. And it takes... Sometimes it can be very quick and sometimes it can take a long time, but it really, we try to adapt to the personality and of the artist.
Yeah. And I would imagine that each artist's individual practice, it and the way they go about creating their images, there's going to be some variance in the kind of onboarding of a new technology. I think some artists work in a really fluid way, while others, a disruption can be more of a challenge that maybe they rise to and they surprise themselves with, but it still is different for them to suddenly work in a different medium.
And we're also trying to propose different ways of creation. We don't offer only to do a reproduction of an existing work or even a commission work. We are trying to offer new ways of creating, but also because our engineers are constantly improving our technology, we are now able also to replicate the texture and relief of wood, of natural elements, mineral elements, concrete, threads, different textiles, a lot of different things that we can add and propose to the artists.
That was going to be one of my questions, is that you talked about creating the texture as brushstroke, but it seems like you could create it as anything. It's truly an infinite process. And that I feel like could be really exciting. So for artists who maybe don't want to create something that has the facsimile of a painting, but instead say, what could I do? If I'm already making a painting with the painting process, what can I do with this infinite texture process? That I think would be really exciting as well.
Absolutely. And this is also why we are approaching more and more artists that are multimedia, let's say, not only painters, but also multimedia artists that are tackling different techniques already in their artistic process.
When an artist do an edition, he's use of very long schedule, meaning that when he have an idea, he will see the first prototype 1 year after, sometimes 1 year and a half, sometimes 2 years. And as there's a real dialogue with Diana and the lab and the engineering team, and the artists like it because he will be in an ongoing creative process where he have an idea, we adjust it, we send him a sample, he give his feedbacks, etc., etc. So, and then also it push artists, it push their creative boundaries, and they really like create wonderful work. Because if you take our portfolio, for most of the artists we work with, we are doing like the best editions today. And it's just not my point of view. It's like we will not quote him, but one of our artists, after a few years, there were one work in the auction and there were like five different editions and we were the only edition was sold. So it's very interesting to also, because there is a real value in the quality of our work.
So we talked about how the actual process has this ability to create infinite textures. What about size at this point? How large can artists work? How large are artists looking to work?
Thank you for asking this question. So sky is the limit in terms of size. We recommend domestic size, which is plug and play also with our transport partner, DHL. So it means that we created our own shipping box in cardboard. We have five different sizes and we are creating three new sizes. So it's all branded Litho. It's the highest quality that you may find in the market. And one of the reasons that we are able to supply this quality of packaging, it's because our factory is in Bregenz. It's 1 hour after Zurich in Austria in Constance Lake. It's a 100% hydroelectric power factory. And 50 miles away of the factory, there is more than 5,000 factories. So the industrial hub of factories are in our area. So we just call our neighbor and we say, hey, do you have steel? Do you have cardboard? Do you have this material? We miss it. Can we please do a trade or buy it from you? So we have no supply problem. And this is amazing in the market. If you take, for example, the Jeff Koons Balloon Dog project, you as a client, you would pay and you would be delivered 1 year and a half after. 1 year and a half after, which is crazy. Us, we have no delay or any supply problem. So having said this, to come back to your question, we are able to ship globally except in China for a very good price because we benefit from the price of DHL because we did exactly boxing who fits the category of shippings. So the maximum size we would recommend would be 150 by 150 centimeter.
Could potentially, for instance, if an artist came for you for a museum piece or something that they wanted to do and collaborate, as you say, outside of that domestic size, that would be a possibility?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is exactly what we are working on also, to make some more limited edition, very small limited editions, and more museum pieces, and with very large and a very large scale. Yes, absolutely. This is something that we are also exploring and offering as a possibility to the artist.
You for Lito Editions in 2024, we will offer our services as a printmaker, because we have so many requests of artists, galleries who would like to work with us only as a printmaker and not as a publisher and distributor, that now we're doing it.
Yeah. Oh, that's really exciting. And so in terms of the artists that you do publish, how do you identify who you want to work with? I feel like this is a really exciting time for your brand, because of course you're building who you are, right? You're starting, you're at the beginning stages of telling the world who Lito is going to be. So maybe from a curatorial standpoint, how do you see an artist and say, okay, like this is who's going to come into the early fold. This is who we want to work with. This is someone who can push our technology. What do you think about in those aspects?
I think that multidisciplinary, multimedia, and artists that also have already experimented with the prints, printing and multiples and limited edition, is definitely this... are artists that we are interested in. So we don't have to explain how interesting to make a limited edition can be. And also we are looking for artists that are at the beginning quite established, because they do then dare to create new things, and they are less scared, let's say, to experiment. So this is how we started. And now we are more and more also interested in a more emerging, although already quite established somehow in the market or institutionally, is emerging artists, let's say, more contemporary, younger artists, let's say, as well.
Also, Miranda, what is important for editions and our choice and our generation is artists with a community. Because there is many artists from our generation who were very quickly very expensive. And like, it's just difficult for people like us, our generation, to buy the original from the galleries. And a gallery built his career through his collectors, but also through his fan base and his true fan. If you take the example of Mark Bradford or like many artists, like, you have to be a billionaire to buy their artworks. But who are they true fans? Who are they true supporters? Is it the billionaire who buy his work that the artist don't know? Or is it people he grew up with and cannot afford the originals? So this is exactly why the artists like to work with us and engage, because they can create an edition who feel like a beautiful painting, and that which is much more affordable for the market. So the dimension of community is really important for us in our selection.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And most artists I know who I speak with and work with, they identify, of course, more with their friends and than necessarily the billionaire collectors, for how they grew up, how they see themselves. And so I think a lot of them do feel complex feelings about pricing out people with whom they maybe share more culturally and historically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And you also work with artists posthumously as well, which is really interesting. I'd love to hear what that process is like, and who you're working with, and how, as curators and as artistic people, that ends up, you create something that was a faithful representation of what an artist who's passed on may have created had they had the opportunity to work with you.
So our main focus and brand is Lito Editions, working with contemporary artists to create original work for the edition. But we also have another brand named Lito Masters. And Lito Masters, it's partnering with important museums, and to be able to scan and to propose, offer limited edition reproduction of a very high quality on paper. And we sell this for less than $1,000. and it's limited between 100 to 1,000, and you can buy it through the museum shops or our website, littlemasters.com, or also third-part online distributors. So, for example, we have a partnership with Musée d'Orsay and the current Van Gogh exhibition, as there is a very important exhibition because it's the last 60 days of Van Gogh before he died. And Van Gogh painted one painting a day at that time. And for the first time, you have all those paintings in location. And so we scanned l'église d'Auvers sur Oise, and we created the edition on paper with the brushstrokes, the relief. So it's almost a clone.
So those goes through the partnerships you have with the museums. And then it sounds like through that, you can actually be a part of supporting the museum as well and creating work that they can then sell, which of course then supports what they do, which I think is really nice.
Of course. So because it's co-published with the museum, they get royalty out of the world project who support their research and cultural initiative. It also helps them for education. We have, for example, the curatorial team of Musée d'Orsay ask us to take the l'église d'Auvers-sur-Oise of Vincent van Gogh and do it a white version with the relief for people to understand these techniques. And also when we scan the artworks, we give for free our data and our files to the museums. So for example, we have another partnership with the René Magritte Museum in Belgium in Brussels. And the curatorial team found out that René Magritte was using more than 10 different techniques of varnishing his artworks because of our technology and our scan. So our data is used by the museum for conservation purpose and also for research.
Yeah, and for part of the process of the democratization of accessibility to art that original multiples affords, I think that's in there too, because no one most of us is ever going to meet is going to have a Van Gogh in their private collection. That's just not going to happen. But this allows them to spend time with works that are really meaningful to them in their domestic space. And that is something that I've always been drawn to in original multiples, is that ability to bring work that people love, that there is a significant financial barrier to bringing into their home, but they get to still bring it into their home.
Absolutely. And Littlemasters the aim of Littlemasters, it's for people to live with a masterpiece and to feel the force of an artwork, of an artist at home. And like Musée d'Orsay would say that we know how to reproduce the original artworks to the reproduction at 95%. So you clearly feel everything. Like for Vincent van Gogh in our prints, you feel when you see the room of Van Gogh how alone he was. You feel it because you can see and feel all the brushstroke, everything. So it's very interesting because it's not really the art market, it's the art enthusiast people, and it's people engaged with the artist, and it's people, we are in the emotion market. We all have a favorite artist, a favorite movie, a favorite restaurant, a favorite singer. And we're exactly in this market. So it's very interesting because it's two different clients, two different audiences, I would like to say.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you have in the future? What projects do you have that you're looking forward to? Anything that you're excited about that you want to use the platform to talk about that people can keep an eye out for?
So you can follow our Instagram, lito.io, and stay tuned. But this year we will have a very exciting release. And you can also follow our website, lito.io, subscribe to our newsletter. And Diana is working with a lot of artists. And there is a great edition will be released soon. Diana, if you would like to say a few words.
Yeah, absolutely. We are expanding a lot of different and experimenting with different artists from different countries, different generations. And it is very promising. So I invite you to stay tuned because 2024 is going to be a promising year for Alito and for art lovers to have the possibility to live with a great masterpiece from Alito Masters or Alito Editions with a contemporary artist.
A contemporary masterpiece.
One of the
yeah.
Contemporary masterpiece, of course.
And contemporary masterpiece, correct. And no, like exactly. we are working closely with one of the top YBA artists in London. And so the very exciting moment.
And so what about people who might have an opportunity to see you all physically? Are you doing fairs? Are you doing any gallery pop-ups? Anything like that for people who might be out in the art world in 2024, could they find you anywhere in that context as of right now?
So we are opening a gallery in February at the same time that Bregenz Art Fair. So it's an art fair, regional art fair for the Constance Lake country. So Germany, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Austria. And there is also a very famous name, Constable of Bregenz, where exhibited Ed Rocher, Richard Serra, Richard Prince, Jan Vo, a lot of very top-tier contemporary artists. And we're opening a gallery just on the other side of the museum. And if you have people from your audience coming in Paris, London, or Zurich, we have a showroom and a place there where we display our works. Yes, and we're also working with like partner galleries who's buying from us in the US and in Asia, include Seoul in South Korea.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for sitting down and for having the conversation with me. I'm excited to share this with listeners and I'm excited to hear what people think of the new print technology. I think that printmakers are often really always excited to hear, particularly the technical innovations. It is a medium that from the very beginning, whether you want to call that 3,000 years ago or 500 years ago, it was about how humans interacted with new technology. And whether that's in acid for etching or a new engraving tool, this is a long part of its history. And I'm excited to see what happens with Alito in 2024.
Great. And please, Miranda, next time you come in Europe, Paris or London, please let us know and we would be very happy to meet you. And if anyone would like to reach us, we are very reactive and we are very open to any dialogue.
Wonderful. Well, I will definitely put links to your website, to your Instagram in the show notes. And I hope you both have a beautiful afternoon in Europe. And we will definitely be in touch.
Well, thank you very much, Miranda. Thank you.
And that's our show for this week. Join me again in 2 weeks' time when my guest will be Shepherd Fairey. That's right, Shepherd Fairey. You won't want to miss it.
If you like today's episode, we have a Patreon where you can help support our podcast and get bonus content, like Shop Talk Shorts with past guests. But the very, very best thing you can do to support us is listen, rate, follow, and share with your fellow print friends around the world. This episode, like all episodes, was written and produced by me, Miranda Metcalf, with editing by Timothy Fauschak and music by Joshua Weber. I'll see you in 2 weeks.